Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Yeah, look, the Raiders are garbage, all right? They're garbage. They trust,
really?
Yeah,
okay.
Absolute garbage. And I would love, I'm a lifelong Raider fan, I'd love to say, listen, these moves so far, I give full credit to Mike Mayock, because John Gruden is a moron. And we've seen that time and time again. A moron gives away a third-round pick for Martavis Bryant, gives away a fifth-round pick for A.J. McCarron, who he just cut.
Yeah.
Brings in Jordy Nelson 1 year, bye-bye. I'm so glad they actually have someone in there now who will either hang up the phone, tell John not to email. I give zero credit to John Gruden for any of these moves. But let's say that they're all great moves, and I like them so far. Your offensive line. First of all, Colton Miller. I was at Raider headquarters last year for our draft show, and they went to me, and I excoriated and eviscerated the Raiders for the Colton Miller pick. And they're like, hey, big excitement over there. And I go, this proves that John doesn't have any idea what he's doing to Colton Miller, who was statistically the worst left tackle in football last year. And people say, oh, he's a tough kid. Everyone's a tough kid in the NFL. So that was such a stupid pick. So now he'll move over to right tackle, and they'll put Trent Brown, who the Niners traded for a third-round pick a couple years ago. Okay, let's hope Trent Brown works out. All right, so there are your tackles. Now Brandon Parker doesn't have to play. Your guards, now that Assemele's gone, your guards are Denzel Good and Chaz Green. Okay?
That's not good.
Who?
That's
now
not you, good.
I love Hudson, the center. He's great.
Yeah, Hudson's good.
But then you're getting backed up by Cameron Hunt, Justin Murray. So we can look at Antonio Brown and go, oh my gosh, we got AB, a guy who is a known quitter. A known quitter. Okay? So that's just a fact. He's one of the best wide receivers in football. But he will cry his way out of town if he doesn't like it. All right? Let's hope everything's copacetic and he loves it. But that's just the offense. That's where the Raiders are going to be good. They still are an electric sieve on defense.
I like that.
Their defense is a flat-out joke. So I'm telling you, the Raiders still today are garbage. And I hope they have a great draft. I hope John Gruden stays home and lets Mike Mayock draft all three of these guys.
Yeah.
And I hope they don't do something stupid and package them all together for something dumb.
For this, Ricky Williams.
This draft is so deep at defensive line. And you think right now the starting tight end for the Raiders is Lee Smith, who can't catch a pass.
Yeah, that's – them not being able to re-sign Jared Cook, that's bad.
Yeah. And then so right now you look at the Raiders and you say, oh, they got AB. Maybe they can go to the playoffs. No, they have no hope of the playoffs. No hope. So let's hope this draft is good, and maybe I'll change my mind. But right now, and it kills me because I bleed silver and black, but I'm just a realist. Ryan, they are garbage right now. Yeah. And every team you named in the AFC is way better than the Raiders.
All right. I'm a little more positive about the moves they've made so far. And let me just say this. The baseline of expectation for this team has been decreased dramatically, okay? And you're right. I mean, look, I can't profess to watching a ton of Raider games last year just because simply, why would I? And you're right. I mean, the game against the 49ers, that was as embarrassing of a performance as I've ever seen from a pro football team. I do like Mike Mayock, and they've got a ton of capital right now. And I just, for the moves that they've made so far, I think that they've improved some very key areas. And you have to. I mean, you want to talk about life in the NFL in 2019, you got to have your franchise quarterback first and foremost. And if you want your franchise quarterback to have any measure of success, you got to get him some guys that he can just throw the ball in a quick slant like an Antonio Brown, and he could take it to the house. And then they've added a complimentary piece with Tyrell Williams. Are the Oakland Raiders going to be a playoff team next year? No, but I'm just taking the other side here and trying to make the case that, hey, they're at least addressing some huge areas of need. Absolutely.
Every year I have to tell Raider fans we're not going to the playoffs. The one time I said we were, we did. And it's not because I'm Nostradamus. You can just look at the roster and see it. Let's go to Telmo. Tickle me, Telmo. What's going on, man?
So, fellas, how you doing?
Chilling.
So a couple quick things, just because I live in the Bay and I'm a Niners fan, and every Niners fan has buddies that are Raiders fans. I've been trying to tell them that Trent Brown won a Super Bowl because Brady was behind him and he was in a Belichick system, not because he's Joe Staley. Also, the next thing is that Carr actually has to hold on to the ball long enough to throw it to AB, so I want to see that happen. But going to the Niners in the draft, what do you think that the possibility, because the Raiders, like you said, they're a sieve on defense, that they get super hyped up if Bosa's there at two, and the Niners trade back with the Raiders to the four spot and their last first-round pick or something in that order, knowing that the Raiders could go get Bosa, because I think the Niners actually like Allen better in their system, and knowing that if Allen isn't there at four, that they still get Williams, and then they have another late first-round pick to go get a receiver or a cornerback or something like that.
All right, thanks for the call. Well, listen, Ryan, if you can trade down a couple spots and get another number one, that's a no-brainer. Of course you do that.
Sure, and you got to find, it's like anything else. You can talk about trades all you want, but you have to find a willing partner. If the Raiders are smart, they won't touch any of, they won't trade any of those picks because they have an opportunity, a rare opportunity for an NFL franchise, which is to get three players in the first round. So even if you don't hit on one of them, it's now we're kind of playing the odds game here, where if one of them gets injured, one of them doesn't pan out, at least you get something to show for.
This is why Mayock, and I say Mayock, not Gruden, because I like Mayock. This is why Mayock is in the catbird seat right now, because he could come out of this draft with the best interior lineman in Quinnen Williams, the best linebacker, and the best corner. If you have Williams and Bush or White drop, I mean, you could, that's why I said, defensively, but the thing is, you got to remember, John Gruden only wants offense. That's all he wants.
Yeah.
And Mike Mayock and him are going to get into a headlock. Now, the good thing is, John Gruden is one of the littlest guys you've ever seen. I mean, he's a really teeny guy. Mike Mayock played linebacker in the NFL. So in a headlock fight, I like my odds on
fair enough
on Mayock.
Well, at least you've given Gruden, you've let him scratch the offensive itch in free agency. I'm still not over the moon about the running back room by any stretch. I mean, come on. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, you know, Marshawn Lynch couldn't finish the year last year. Doug Martin, if you like 3.2 a crack, that's your guy. And then what, they have Jalen Richard, who is a decent back, but he's number three on my depth chart. But at least with the Antonio Brown, Tyrell Williams, and then you grab the linemen as well, at least you've thrown money at that problem offensively in free agency to where you can focus on the defense in this draft, which, by the way, is a very deep defensive draft. And I love your point there. You can, with those three picks, you can check three huge boxes. You can get a player at all three levels. Get a corner, you can get a linebacker, you can get a D lineman, and I think a quality one. I think most quote unquote experts feel like this is going to be remembered as a very defensive draft.
Let's go to Tim in San Jose. You're on 95.7
again. Guys, appreciate you guys taking my call. I'm a diehard Raider fan, and I'll tell you what, my heart's still been broken since that playoff run when Derek Carr got his knee hurt. But what do you guys think about maybe drafting through or building the defense through the draft? Because, you know, I think Mayock was brought in here for that specific reason. Gruden is an offensive coach. And, you know, I really like the duo of Gruden and Mayock. But what do you guys think about, you know, maybe building the defense up through the draft, giving it a year or two to build these guys up?
Thank you. Yeah, they had the best defensive player in football, and they traded him. So you have to do it. And that's what I was just saying. You could end up with the best interior lineman, or maybe even if you end up with a guy like Allen, he could end up being the best pass rusher. And then a great corner. This is the other thing, too. You talk about the running back room. I know, what is it, at 27, that's their third first-round pick.
Yeah.
Josh Jacobs from Alabama. Somebody will be there. And then I won't be mad if they take the consensus best running back in the draft because you mentioned,
sure,
you know, Washington, Richard, Martin, guys like that. So, you know, like I said, I'm a guy who just thinks when you have consistently year in and year out the 26th, 28th ranked defense, to continue to ignore it every year, taking a tackle last year in the first round is the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. And then a guy who stunk, hopefully he'll get better in year two. So Mike Mayock, We have faith in you, I hope.
Yeah. Boy, it's going to be a long road to go for the Oakland Raiders. And this whole notion of, look, we want to win and go out in Oakland in style. If that was really the case, you would have never traded Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper. So let's just be real about that for 1 second. To me, it was just a bit of a head scratcher. While I could never fault a team for wanting to acquire a player of Antonio Brown's talent, when you look at all the other moves that they're making, it seems like, okay, we're going in rebuild mode. To acquire a 31-year-old receiver and give him a huge raise, that doesn't signify rebuild to me. That signifies we're trying to win right now. So which one is it?
Listen, I like that move. For a 3 and a 5, I like the move.
I hear you.
Yeah, I'm not mad. I'm mad about giving a 3 for Martavis Bryant, who is useless. And everybody knew he was useless and was suspended a season and a half and cried his way out of town.
Yeah.
Come on back. We're going to talk a little baseball. On the other side, we'll bring in Zachary Reimer, Tittle and Covey, 95.7 again.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Thank you so much for joining us on a Saturday afternoon here. We got a little sunshine finally. Hope you're enjoying a day off. If not, if you are, it doesn't matter. We're talking sports here as we always do, 95.7 The Game. Rick Tittle and Ryan Covey with you. We'll be here till 4 o'clock. And right now, we're quite happy to be joined by our friend Zachary Reimer, MLB lead writer for the Bleacher Report. Let's just get this question out of the way so revisionist history will be stumped right now. And that is, was Bryce Harper... did he ever get close to signing with the Giants? Because we know the Giants had at least 2 meetings with him.
I literally have no idea more than you guys do. So I really can't answer that question.
All right. Hey, Zach, I want to ask you quickly about the MLB rule changes, in particular the 3-batter minimum that's going to go into effect next season. Who exactly is that change for?
Hypothetically, it's for, you know, for people who, I guess, have short attention spans, I guess is what the, you know, that might not be the verbatim how the commissioner's office might put it, but that seems to be kind of the indication there. They want to quicken up the pace of the game, and therefore they want to have fewer pitching changes. I'm not a big fan of the rule myself. I can kind of see where they're coming from, and maybe if, you know, they have certain rules in place where, you know, if the guy gets 2 outs or something like that to end an inning, he doesn't have to go back out there for, a 3rd out or whatever it is in the next inning. I wouldn't mind seeing something like a limit on pitchers per inning or something like that. But I think the 3-batter minimum is something that I need to be sold on at least.
Why do you think they're in such a panic to change it? Because I don't see baseball as hugely suffering when they're making more money than ever, and yet it seems like they're changing rules because, you know, viewership has gone down 50%. I mean, I know they want games to go quicker, and they think that if there's a pitching change, we're all going to go on Facebook or something. I don't know what they think. But why do you think there is such a hot panic to have all these rule changes?
You're right in that, like, right now it seems kind of like a solution in search of a problem. But in the long run, I think they're worried about the fact that, you know, the game is really slowing down, no matter how you look at it. If you want to look at total time of the game, it's, you know, 3 hours at a minimum now, it seems like a lot of games, and the pace in between pitches is really slow. On a long enough timeline, that could become a problem. So they're trying to get out ahead of it, and I appreciate that a little bit. But, you know, they're kind of dancing around, like, different solutions that will kind of fix it, but not really. You know, the intentional walk doing away with that, you know, the mound visits, and now we've got the 3-batter minimum. The nuclear option here, and, you know, it seems like it's more and more realistic every day, is the 20-second pitch clock. That is something that not a lot of guys are crazy about, it seems like, but if you want to talk about something that would actually get at the actual problem, that's pretty much it. I mean, the average time in between pitches right now, I think, is like 25 seconds. You knock that down to 20, it may not sound that much, but over the course of a couple hundred pitches per game, that could make quite a big difference.
Another topic of conversation in the last couple of days, Jeff Samardzija advocating ties in Major League Baseball games. That will never happen, right?
I never say never, I guess, but that seems like something that he wants, and maybe, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if more players agree with him than are probably willing to admit it, because, I mean, some of these games that go on to 12, 13, 14, 15 innings, they drag on, they become kind of a bore to watch, and, you know, on the players themselves, being out there for that long, using that many, you know, calories, I guess, over the course of a night, that'll mess you up for a couple days afterward, so... It's something that I don't think anybody beyond Samardzija is really advocating for right now, but, you know, it's an interesting idea at the least.
I kind of feel, Zachary, that, you know, millennials tend to, just like every young generation, people like point at them and say, oh, you kids don't understand. I think they're getting a bad rap. I think a baseball fan is a baseball fan regardless of age, and it's a pastime like walking the dog or laying at the beach reading a book. And so we don't need someone telling us to get the lead out, and we don't like clocks, and we kind of know when we go it might be 2 hours and it might be 4 hours. And do I have to turn my head around to say no, I know for a fact it won't be 4 hours?
Well, I guess I should clarify, technically I'm a millennial and I'm a huge baseball fan, so there's at least one of us out there that matches that description. You know, I guess I'll speak from my personal kind of biases here is that, you know, I'm going to watch baseball no matter what because I have a problem with baseball. I'm addicted to it. But even I'm kind of aware that, you know, some of these games do take forever, and I wouldn't mind a quicker pace. So what they're going after, you know, what they have in mind for making the game more accessible and just streamlining it a little bit, I appreciate it. And, you know, I wonder if I'm not alone there.
Zach, I want to ask you about the Giants. Is there any scenario that you can come up with? I mean, I'm looking at their roster right now, and I know a lot of these guys have had measures of success in the major leagues like 4 or 5 years ago. But, I'm looking at this roster and wondering how this team can even be remotely competitive in 2019. Is there any plausible scenario where you see this team being potentially in the hunt for a wild card position?
All the 30 somethings have to dial the clock back a couple of years.
That's it, right?
And that's pretty much it. I think there are bright spots on the Giants. I mean, I'm looking at the springs that guys like Derek Rodriguez and Tyler Beede is kind of back from the dead, so to speak, from, in the prospects depth chart.
Sure.
There are some other good young talents like Steven Duggar is going to be in the center field. He's a really good defensive player, you know, some offensive potential there. But, you know, really no matter which way you slice it, it does come down to the older guys do need to turn back the clock a little bit. I have very little faith that will actually happen, but, you know, stranger things have happened, so we'll see.
Zachary Reimer from Bleacher Report has joined us here, 95.7 The Game. Tittle and Kove with you. A couple more questions for Zachary. One trade deadline. At the end of July, no more passing through waivers, putting your whole team through waivers in August, pulling a guy back, letting a guy go for nothing but cash. All these things we're used to are now out the window, and I'm kind of on board with this. It'll keep people from dilly-dallying around. I know that, we had deals like, you know, the Verlander deal happen in August and stuff, but it's going to be one crazy night, I guess, the night of the 31st. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's basically what it does is it creates a tangible sense of urgency for particularly contenders that are going to be going for the playoffs and certainly the World Series. If there's a possible negative side effect of it all is that, you're going to have all these trades happen and then the last 2 months of the year, it's just going to be strictly haves and have-nots. There's going to be no teams teetering on the edge who might make some moves in August to get themselves, across the threshold into contention. That's not going to happen anymore. So, it's going to be a situation where the last 2 months of the year, it's very, very top-heavy contention, I would imagine.
Hey, Zach, I want to ask you a little bit about the contract situation in baseball. And my partner during the week and I talk about, there's kind of the haves and the have-nots. I mean, the Bryce Harper deals, the Machado deals, those big mega deals, those are only afforded to, a few key players. And then otherwise, you've still got guys that have substantial major league track records that are still unsigned. And I mean, we're 2 weeks away from the first opening day in Major League Baseball. Is Major League Baseball in danger of kind of losing that middle class of player where it's either like, you know, they want guys on the cheap, or, you know, because there's only going to be two or three guys on any given roster that are going to be making like serious dollars? Is that more where this game is headed, you think?
Well, in danger of losing that middle class, I would say that middle class is probably already lost. You know, like I said, we've seen Bryce Harper gets a 13-year deal. Manny Machado gets a 10-year deal. Patrick Corbin gets 6 years. You know, the big deals are out there, but then after that, it's like 1 year, 2 year. Like the 3- and 4-year deals, like that's done. It's either, you're either going to be this big, you know, hugely paid star, or you're just going to be on like a 1-2-year deal and, you know, playing for your next paycheck in a very short amount of time. I think the only thing that to say in the defense of front offices out there is that as the kind of balance of star power has shifted younger over the last decade or so, you kind of question, like, well, we can either pay $10 million bucks a year for 4 or 5 years for a guy who we might get the same production out of if we just call up one of our prospects, because these young guys are really good nowadays.
Yeah.
You know, but while that line of reasoning is certainly valid, if you're a player, you see the situation where nobody wants to pay free agents anymore, and now there's these front offices just are squeeze everything they can out of the young players, up to and including manipulating their service time. The economic system of the game that was in place for so many years is now out the window. And if you're, unless you're a Bryce Harper, unless you're a Manny Machado or a Mike Trout, yeah, that's something to worry about.
And for the All-Star game, we're going to have an election night, which will have nothing to do with conservative or liberals. It'll have to do with three players at each position who will make it through the primary round. And then we'll have an election night, something they can put on TV. And from what I'm hearing, it's just, you know, baseball is always told, you don't promote your players. Like Mike Trout walks down the street, no one knows who the heck he is. And so is this just kind of a way to, like I said, promote your players a little bit more?
Essentially, yeah. I mean, if you look at how the All-Star voting is now, it's like a dozens of tiny spotlights kind of scattered throughout the league and, you know, on the various stars. So I guess the idea of kind of breaking it down and kind of funneling them into like a select few guys into much bigger spotlights at a certain time, that could potentially work. It's an interesting idea. And the other idea I guess we should shout out is the $1 million prize for winning the Home Run Derby. Maybe give some guys some extra incentive to enter it and put some attention on some really big slugging stars. That could be fun, too.
You know it's bad if somebody's like, I don't need another million.
Right?
Well, you know, I'd do it. It wouldn't be very fun, but I'd do it.
No doubt. We've been speaking with Zachary Reimer. Make sure to read him in the Bleacher Report and follow him on Twitter at Zach Reimer, ZACHRYMER. Zach, thanks for your time, especially on a weekend. We appreciate it.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, baseball fans, you can chime in right now. We'd love to hear from you. Toll free, 888-957-9570. Don't write it down, dial it up. 888-957-9570. Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795. Also, Ryan, they are going to be reducing the time in between innings from 2:05 to 2 minutes.
Woo!
Now, what's interesting is that when I was working at Sports Channel in the 90s, there was a year, I want to say it was like 92 or 93, where they tried to go 2.5 minutes. And they would have these 15-second bookend breaks. And I was told as the technical director in the studio, as soon as the guy makes the last out, roll the break.
Out.
And, yeah, out. No more watching him jog in and saying, we'll be right back.
Get back to the dugout, couple of pats on the rump.
Right. Yeah. You know, who's up next? Yeah. It's just go. And then if the guy's in his windup, then bail out of the break, which would happen all the time. And then we'd have to bonus these breaks, and we have to play them over again. And after that year, they said, forget it. It's not working out. So that was them trying to get an extra 30 seconds. That's a lot of money that they were going to make. And now they're going to reduce it by 5 seconds. And the commissioner says by 2020, it's going to be 1:55 in between innings. So they are counting up these 5 seconds incrementally. And I'm telling you, as a human, I know you thought I was a droid.
Yeah,
but
as a
human, do I really add up those 5 seconds? What if they equal 2 minutes? Do I even notice?
Boy, I sure hope not. if you do, you probably got bigger problems than the total runtime of a baseball game.
Yeah, I should be counting cards if I'm that weird.
Yeah, easy Rain Man. And that's my whole issue with baseball. It's these little tinkers. And I went through it with the NHL. I'm a big hockey fan, right? And the NHL for years was, under Gary Bettman's quote-unquote leadership, was trying to tinker with this game incessantly to appeal to a broader spectrum of fans. Well, that's fine and dandy. I know you want to grow your brand. I know you want to expand. Isn't that the ultimate goal of all sport entities, to become bigger and stronger and ultimately make more money for the owners, right? Mm-hmm. I understand all that. But what you run the risk of doing is you run the risk of alienating the true fans that you have. And I can speak from personal experience. While I will always love the NHL, I don't really like watching overtime, and honestly, once the game gets to overtime, I know, 3-on-3, it's so fun. No, it's a gimmick to me, and the shootout
really?
Is even another bigger gimmick.
I love 3-on-3.
That's great, and so for you, that's awesome, and that's fine. I would never begrudge another man for his sports loves and passion, so it's all good
it's
there.
Better than the 5-on-5 they used to have.
I never had a problem with ties.
Okay. By the way, in the next segment, we're going to get into Samardzija's ties.
Totally.
Yes, his bow ties, his neckties, everything.
All of it. His Colombian neckties, no problem. I never had a problem with it. My point on this, Rick, is you run the risk of alienating the fans that you have. In baseball, you look at the numbers last year, like television numbers for, like, you know, the NBC Sports Bay Areas, the network stations that cover the games. The numbers were up from the year before, so I don't know what this big rush is to change the game. And guess what? If I'm going to a baseball game, I know that it could be 2 hours. I know that it could be 4 hours. Like, that to me, that's kind of the allure. You never know what you're going to get. Everything's different. And baseball could streamline things in the sense that you could shorten up the inning breaks a little bit. You want to put the pitch clock on it, fine. But there's different ways to generate ad revenue throughout the games. You know, a lot of sports, you know, they do the split screen now where, you know, during a break in the action, you still get an eye on what's going on in the game. Like during reviews in the NFL, you know, you can go to a little commercial break, do the split box. You can still generate ad revenue while staying, like, with the action, right? And I'd like to see him go towards more of that, like during a pitching change. I don't have a problem with the split screen. I'd at least rather see what's going on with the game. So if they want to go more that direction, I could see that. But this whole notion that everything has to be tinkered for the sake of saving, like, 2 minutes? Really? Like, why?
There was a couple of years ago, I forgot who I was doing the show with, and they said, can you, because I don't want anything to change, right? You know, because me, human, me hate change.
Sure.
But I thought the only thing that I would be into as far as saving time, because I've thought this my whole life, is that why do relief pitchers, not coming in for someone who's injured, but why do relief pitchers need another 7 warm-up pitches?
Sure.
Like, to me, that always seemed like kind of a waste of a time. The guy just got greased up. He just threw 40.
Isn't that what the warm-up session in the bullpen was for?
Yeah, that's what I kind of thought. But here's the other thing. As much as it goes against everything in our sports psyche to see a clock in a, you know, that left field clock that came in a couple of years ago, we also know that the umpires flat out ignore it. Remember we heard that once you dig in the box, you can't get out? Everyone gets out. You still have the 5-hour Mark Canna at bats. You still have Pablo, who has to hit himself in the head, run forward, drop Prince's symbol in the dirt or whatever he does, get back in the dirt, and then we still have the Nomar and the human rain delay, Mike Hargrove. They step out all the time, and it's supposed to be only if you're talking to, you know, like looking at the third base coach. Sure. Did you touch the bill twice, or did you put your hand on your chest? Can you go through those signs again for me? So the umpires, they also are old school, and I've never seen a game where it's like, you know what, the clock ran down, and you weren't in the box, so you start your count at 0-1.
Right.
You get a strike.
Never.
No, that's never going to happen. So it's just such a stupid, this vestigial waste of time to have that clock out there.
It's window dressing. And really, at some point, it insults your intelligence, because why is that there for the learned sports fan? Because clearly it's not doing
it. It's there so Bud Selig doesn't choke on his Metamucil. I mean, this was his whole raison d'etre. Like, I have to shorten the game. And I remember he was doing his goodbye tours, and he came to the Coliseum, and he said, when I was a kid and I went to the Milwaukee Braves, I knew I'd be home by 5 o'clock. I knew the game would be 1:50. Like, great. Who gives a crap? We just want to see good baseball. So people say, do you like pitching duels, or do you like games where it's, you know, 19-18?
I like both.
I just want a good game.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I almost feel gypped when it is a pitching duel and it's over in 2 hours. Like, what the hell we just got here?
Yeah, I just want to see something exciting, and I don't mind a pitching duel, just like I don't mind, you know, a defensive struggle in an NFL game, as long as there's something compelling. Yeah, this Super Bowl was a little boring, there's no doubt about that.
But it was compelling because we didn't know who was going
to
win.
At least it came down to a game in the fourth quarter. It's like this old, do you like pitching duels, do you like slugfest? Well, it's like, you know, asking me, like, do you like blondes or brunettes? Guess what, I like girls. You know, I'm not picky. Like, I'll take it anyway. I love sports. And however we're going
to
get it.
And we've been to some 15 to 14 baseball games that were boring.
Sure.
It's like, no. Let me ask you this, too, because this is something that I've always wondered with baseball fans. Would you, because I had a lot of these as an A's fan, would you rather have a team that just can't get anybody out and the other team is scoring nonstop? Or would you rather have a team, you got to pick one, that just can't score? Like, what would you rather suffer through the least?
That's tough. I think Giants fans will tell you they take scenario one at this point, because the Giants just don't ever score any damn runs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd probably err on the side of my guys can't get anybody out, but at least we're going to see some offense.
Right. That's the thing to me. It's more frustrating to me to see backwards K and three up, three down, three up, three down, three up, three down. That to me is more crushing of your inner spirit.
Yeah. In baseball, they want it both ways, because they want all this offense. They want home runs. They want balls in play. But yet they want the game to go as quickly as possible. Well, guess what? The game's going to go as quickly as possible if it's three up, three down, right? I mean, then, you know, starters cruising along, going seven innings, which, by the way, probably we're going to see less and less of that as years go on. And that's more of an analytics thing, not a, you know, saving the time of the game thing. But that's baseball's problem. It's so ambiguous about what side of the fence they're really on. Like, do you want guys hitting 50 bombs a year and, you know, the scores to be 12 to 11? Well, if you do, then you can't tell me in the other vein, well, yeah, but we also want two-hour game times. That's not how it works.
Well, think about the Atlantic League, Ryan, as it's going to be a guinea pig league for Major League Baseball this year. And they are going to be throwing in some bizarre changes to this league. And to me, the one that really sticks out is that they, and I'm not kidding, they literally are going to make the rubber 62 feet 6 inches. They're going to move it back 2 feet because they think it'll cut down on the strikeout, which to baseball, that is the execs, that's the worst thing that can happen is a strikeout. But then again, don't strikeouts make the game go quicker? I mean, it's like, what do you want? Do you want
Pitch contact? They want first pitch contact every time.
So they want outs from the bat. They don't want strikeouts.
I guess. Yeah.
But what if you're a pitcher, right? And then you have to relearn something that, because you go to 60 feet, 6 inches when you're in high school, right?
Hey, yeah.
Okay. And so you've been doing this since you're, you know, 14, probably even younger. And now all of a sudden you got to go 2 feet back. It's going to be like Carmen when he got to the Astrodome in Bad News Bears, when he was bouncing all his pitches because he was on the big league bump. Yeah. Then they go, oh, no, your rubber's up here. That's a 1970s reference anyway. But
all the millennials are like, huh? Know, you're going, what did Uncle Rick just say?
I know. So I just think that you can tinker with things. But so what if it's a big hit? Are we going to move the mound backs? Could you imagine Madison Bumgarner being told that he'd get his truck and he would drive out there and he would dig up the mound?
Totally.
Yeah.
And we all always got to worry about pissing off Madison Bumgarner, right? I mean, that needs to be at the forefront of our minds at every turn.
No openers for him.
Oh, no. No openers. Keep Yasiel Puig out of my face and leave the mound alone and we'll be good.
So we'll only get 3 visits of Puig from the Reds this year, right?
Yeah. You know, Yasiel Puig.
Three licked bats on such things?
I said Yasiel Puig is like the Jay Cutler of Major League Baseball. With Jay Cutler with his million-dollar arm and his chicken nugget brain, that's kind of what Yasiel Puig represents to me. All the talent in the world, but what a punchable face that dude's rocking, right?
Let me ask you this about Cutler, because this is a guy
who's, get my blood pressure up.
He was offered a TV deal, and then he came out of retirement to go to Miami with Adam Gase. He never got the TV deal later.
Right. Who would ever thought?
But to me, it was weird because, and somebody told me that they had a reality show, like he and his wife. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. Yeah. But I just remember Cutler, when he was living in the hotel in Miami, he told the hotel, you need to get some new movies because I've gone through all of them. I'm like, you're a multimillionaire. Do you ever heard of Netflix or Amazon?
Yeah.
Bring in a 60-inch 4K into your hotel room.
Jay Cutler always struck me like as he went to Vanderbilt, so I thought he was supposed to be smart. And then you'd hear the things that he would say and just the interactions he'd have with people. And you're like, that dude is a moron.
Well, there's also another thing, and you shouldn't judge a book by its cover, but I can tell you in general terms, when it's time for a picture and a guy combs his hair straight down like Mo, he might be a rube in with the egg money.
Oh. On 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Rick Tittle and Ryan Covey with you. Thanks for tuning in here, 95.7 The Game. Taking your calls and texts here until 4 o'clock, and we'll hand it over to our guys who will handle the Warriors coverage as we get you set. When is it not a big game when you're a Warrior fan? Oklahoma City on the road. Connor Letourneau, by the way, from the Chronicle, who covers the Warriors. He's going to join us from OKC at 3:20, so we'll look forward to hearing from our buddy Connor. As I mentioned, you can be a part of the show if you'd like to chime in at 888-957-9570. Once again, 888-957-9570. And the Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795. So as we were alluding with, by the way, Rick Tittle, Ryan Covey with you, we were speaking with Zachary Reimer, and Ryan brought up the fact that Jeff Samardzija put out the idea of maybe, to save time, Major League Baseball should look into ties. And that would be like soccer. This is exactly what he told MLB.com's Maria Guardado. Said Samardzija, I just think you can change to a point system. I don't think we need to play extra innings games. You want to keep the game times down, just end them in a tie. Everybody gets 1 point, like in the Premier League. Winning gets 3 points, and just end it at 9. We're playing 162 games. Over that course of games, you should be able to tell who the best team is. It makes the ninth inning exciting all the time. And really, who wants to go out there and play 15 innings? The relievers don't want it. The position players don't want it. The managers don't want it because they got to move rosters around the next day. Obviously, every game is important now with the extra wild card. I just think it keeps every game important again, and it just kind of eliminates some innings that a lot of guys don't really want to play. But again, that's a little wild for people, I think. End quote. Your reaction, Ryan?
Well, I don't want to just crush Samardzija for thinking outside of the box. I mean, it's just easy to say, oh, you idiot, what are you talking about? But this notion that all players hate it, well, have you talked to all the players? I mean, first of all, and how many games a year go to extra innings? 10, maybe 15 tops? So, and really, how many of those games go past 12 innings? Again, we're talking about these minute sample sizes to make sweeping changes to the games in order to appease something that has such a minor effect on a 162-game season, it's silly to me. I just don't understand it. And I would be more of a fan of expanding the rosters in that respect and being able to carry more guys on the 25 to cover up for, you know, the pitching deficiencies that might happen if you go a bit longer in a game. But look, man, that's just part of the allure of baseball. The game isn't on a clock. You don't know specifically when it's going to end. And if the game's tied, it could go on for a while. And that's just how it goes. And really, these long games, these 15-inning games, what do they happen? Like once or twice a year? Give me a break.
By the way, I love Samardzija as a guy. I love Samardzija as a player who doesn't like pointing fingers. If you're going to fight, you're going to fight. I mean, ask how hard his head is. Ask Michael Morris how hard his head is,
yeah,
by the way.
Thanks again for that, Hunter Strickland.
But here's the Giants fans will always hate Hunter Strickland.
What's to like?
It's funny. I remember the World Series parade, his double-decker went by, people were cheering him, and I remember looking at him thinking, hey, he's like, he's getting cheered. Yeah. He got cheered for that day he got cheered.
Yeah, because it was a World Series parade.
I like Samardzija as a guy. I remember when he got traded to the A's from the Cubs. I was at the A's game, and they said, he's available downstairs. It was like the fourth inning. We all ran down. We wanted to get a look at him. It was a huge deal. Of course, we know the prospects that went. And someone said, do you think that baseball players have a football player's mentality? And he said, maybe the kicker. I mean, and I asked him, I go, you spent your whole career with the Cubs. Are you okay? Come over here. And he's like, I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. I just love his honesty. But then again, he is not lived up to his contract yet. But I will say this about Samardzija. Because if you want to look at his, just like the Premier League, which is the soccer league in England, if you want to look at 3 points for a win and one for a tie, and I'm glad they did that. It used to be two for a win, mm-hmm. one for a tie, and then they wanted to make people trying to win give them more incentive. If they had had that last year, the Red Sox would have had 313 points. Then it would have gone Astros, Yankees, Indians, A's. All five of those teams were the five playoff teams.
Mm-hmm.
The A's would have been the fifth seed, and they were the second wild card. If you go to the National League, the Brewers would have, they, of course, had the 95 wins, just like the Cubs. They would have come in first because they would have had three more points at 274. And then after those two, the Rocks, the Braves, and the Dodgers, all five of those are playoff teams. The Dodgers would be the fifth seed, and they were the second wild card. So I'll give him this. That idea actually makes sense as far as deciding. But I don't want to hear a professional athlete saying innings we don't want to play, because
right.
everyone in the stands wants to play in the big leagues for one inning. So I don't want to hear about, no, oh, it's the bottom of the 14th. This sucks. That's a bad look when you're saying that out loud.
Yeah, especially when you've got as much money in the bank as Jeff Samardzija does for being an average to what I would consider below average pitcher yeah. the last couple of years.
And when the Giants signed him because they couldn't get Greinke or Zimmerman, they gave him all that money, even though he was statistically, you look at the most earned runs given up in the AL, the most home runs given up in the AL on the south side, and they signed him anyway.
He's addicted to giving up home runs.
I don't blame him. The Giants want to give you that money and just hope you get back to your old Cubs form. That's more on them than anyone else. All right,
yeah, great strategy, hope.
Let's go to the phone lines at 888- 957-9570. Delmore is in Oakland. You're on 95.7 again.
I mean, as a fan, the one time I like a long game is when there's extra innings. So, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, some of the most memorable viewing and listening experiences have been extra inning games. So I hope that doesn't go away.
Sure.
But there's an idea that I heard Bill James talk about years ago that I haven't heard about. And it's something, a change that would not be noticed by anybody except the players. And that is, he was talking about this trend toward more strikeouts, more home runs, coinciding with a change in the kind of bats that hitters are using. Narrower handles, putting more and more of the weight in the barrel, meaning you're going to swing from your heels, you're going to hit with more power, make contact less often. There is a maximum to how big a barrel can be, but there's no minimum to how small a handle can be. And he was saying they should slowly introduce a minimum, just increase it a little bit each year, and it'll change the nature of the incentives for batters because, you know, kind of middling second basemen aren't going to be able to hit 19 home runs a year. And it's going to make faster games because it's fewer of the strikeout and home run options.
All right. Thanks for the call, Delmore. I appreciate that. And look, if you go to the Hall of Fame, you'll see those Babe Ruth bats where the barrel is almost the same size as the handle.
Yeah.
It's like a log. But, you know, the game has changed. When I was growing up, you were told to hit down. Now these kids are told to hit up. And we study these things like launch angles. And, you know, when guys get acquired, they say, this guy was third in baseball for velocity off the bat. I'm like, well, he hit 219. You know, they'll find a way to give you some, you know, new world stat. But listen, Major League Baseball loves home runs. They do. I don't think they want to cut down on that second baseman hitting 19 home runs like he said. They love the home runs. It's just, I don't know. If you start going to a thicker handle, now what happens? Do the strikeouts go down? I think the strikeouts would probably stay the same. It's just the home runs would go down.
Yeah, the strikeouts might go down if, oh, I don't know, you move the mound back 2 feet. Just asinine. And just back on Jeff Samardzija for one moment.
Yeah.
You hit on something. It just kind of got my nerve. The notion of Samardzija saying we don't want to play baseball, you know, and that's, I'm paraphrasing, but that's essentially what he's saying when he says we don't want to play extra innings baseball. I don't want to play baseball. And look, when you're making as much money as Jeff Samardzija is to play a game for a living, I get it. The 162 game season is a little long. You want to shave some time off something? Shave some time off 162 games. I might be in favor of like a 150 game schedule. I don't know how they can like balance all this out, but even that, it's like, it's still a very long season. I mean, this notion that we have to streamline everything and fast track everything and instant gratification. We want it right now. It doesn't hold water for me. I don't see the need to incessantly tinker with everything because, like I said, Rick, if baseball wants to keep making changes, you do run the risk of alienating the baseball purists that'll tell you the game is just fine the way it is. And I understand they want to usher in the new generation of baseball fan, but just the game itself, just the way it's played versus NFL or NBA, where it's, you know, it's back and forth action. Even the NFL gets a little stagnant at times, but at least you got the big payoff with touchdowns and big plays and the 2-minute drill. And, you know, there's a sense of urgency. In baseball, there just never is that sense of urgency. And you can make changes to the rules until the cows come home. It's never going to change what the game is, which is it's an event you go to where you realize for the most of the part you're going to be chilling, but there are going to be a couple of times in that game where it's going to get, you know, hopefully intense, and there's going to be some key moments in the game. And, you know, as a fan, that's when you get to, you know, kind of be in the moment. But for the most part, it's a summertime sport. It's a baseball is like a leisure activity, and I think it should. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No, it is our pastime. I say, you pass
I don't think
the
it's
time.
Our pastime anymore. But oh, pass the time. I get you.
That's
but,
what I mean. It's yeah, like yeah. if you walk the dog. Do you want somebody going? Hurry up! Come on!
Yeah, come on, Nuck.
Or you're reading a book in a hammock with a beer. Hurry up! It's
right.
like why? No, I'm passing the time. It's the only sport where you can open up a paper and not look like a jackass.
Right.
You know, and it's like, well, you know, got some downtime. We understand what we're getting to. I would love baseball season to be 364 days a year. Take one day off for a religious holiday if you're an atheist, have a barbecue, hang out, whatever. It's funny because when I was a kid, football season was my favorite season. But then when I grew up, I love other sports, obviously, but baseball season is my favorite season by far because it's the longest. It's the only sport where it's basically every day. And you, the ups and downs, you can have at least 10 crushing choke losses. And then you can have 10 unbelievable walk-offs. It's just that roller coaster ride all the way through. And as we have seen, even before the wild card, but now with two wild cards, every game literally counts. Every game matters. It used to be, well, you know, the ones you win in April, the ones you don't have to win in September. No, you got to keep winning. And that's the thing is that if we now with one trade deadline, the wishy-washy Twins – remember, we're in it. No, we're not. They trade a pitcher. Oh, wait. No,
yeah,
no,
we're back
in it.
It.
No,
yeah.
no, we're not.
We've won 7 of 8. Now we're back in it.
It's going to make those teams – because the great thing about that second wild card is that if you're 7 games out of the second wild card, you could have a hot week and be 2 games out.
100%.
Right. And it's like, do we wave the white flag? So you're going to see teams have to make that decision now with one trade deadline. And this whole thing about I'm putting my whole roster through waivers, who got pulled back – that's over forever, I guess.
Yeah, and I actually, that is the one trade or the one rule change that I really like. I agree, because it's the trade deadline or it's not the trade deadline. And in the NHL, like the trade deadline day, very exciting day. Even mm-hmm. in the NFL, the last couple of years since we've actually, since there has been more trading, there's been some, you know, some concessions made in, you know, the way that the salary cap is handled. So teams are actually have a little bit more salary cap maneuverability, so they're able to make trades. That's an exciting time. You know, in the NBA, maybe not so much, but still there's definitely some activity on that day. But there's something about a deadline, and that's one of the most exciting days in the year in the NHL. Like, Sharks are this year, they go get Gus Nyquist. And it's like, okay, we're all in this year. We're trying to win a Stanley Cup, and we're going to make a move that adds to this team to make this push. Major League Baseball, you're like, wait, but we still got the old non-waiver trade deadline, and that's so much later in the year where it's like, you can kind of hold off. Now we are going to know, and your point is well taken, Rick, because of that second wild card spot. Absolutely. There's a ton of teams that could still be in it. You could turn on a dime.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ-FM, and HD1 KGMZ San Francisco, radio.com sports station. Rick Till and Ryan Covey with you for another hour, and then we'll turn it over to our live coverage of Warriors basketball. We'll get you up to speed with plenty of pregame analysis and such things.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.